Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to This Week in Worthless Knowledge. My name is Johnny Goodtimes.
And I am Nat the Truth Jones.
And this is, of course, our big reunion show. The two of us are finally back together after 15 years after the success of our hugely popular podcast. We've come together for a reunion tour of sorts. And it's good to be back together. I mean, I haven't seen you since we were in our mid-20s.
It's been 12 years since we took the stage together for that big Central Park concert. You know, I got to say, you haven't changed a bit.
No. You're looking just as hale and hearty as ever.
Thanks. That means a lot coming from a guy like you. What have you been up to for the last... I mean, you know, the last time we did one of these, in all seriousness, maybe five, six months ago, we made a big deal about, oh, this is our comeback. And, you know, the comeback was short-lived.
Yeah, this isn't so much of a comeback now as it's like a reunion tour.
Right. We're not making any promises. I mean, we hope, and we'll see how warmly received we are.
Yeah, I mean, if you're listening out there, and you can get 10 of your friends to listen, and they can get 10 of their friends to listen, and it moves forward as sort of a small-scale pyramid scheme, I think that we could be induced to return. But if it's just going to be a handful of you and you're not going to spread the word and you're just going to hoard us all to yourselves, then A, we're a little disappointed in your selfishness, and B, we won't be back.
But, you know, we've always had a selfish fan base.
I know. That's been one of our biggest problems.
I want to see people with, you know, just really, really out there in public clamoring for more of This Week in Worthless Knowledge. And we know it's been a while, and we enjoy doing the show, but you guys have got to make it worth our while.
Well, I see a lot of people out there who can find the time to protest the current administration and various political beliefs, and yet nobody's finding the time to demand that we go back on the air.
Yeah, the This Week in Worthless Knowledge march that was in Washington, the less covered one, by the way, I like to refer to. You know, you didn't see as much media there for that one. I mean, I don't think we even had 30,000 people marching for us.
No, not even. So there's
considerably less, actually.
Yeah, there's some disappointment in the fans.
But what you didn't see is you didn't see like the wider camera angle shots where the whole mall was filled with people. But of course, you didn't see that on, you know, the fake news networks. Right. I saw an interesting parenting magazine I wanted to share with you recently. I was in a doctor's office, and there was a parenting magazine, and I was passing the time, and it posed an interesting hypothetical question that I just thought I'd put out there for you. And the question was a poll, and it was asking parents, I'm assuming mostly moms, but it was directed towards parents, which celebrity mom would you most want babysitting for your kids? Now, while I'm intrigued,
sure,
I want to know the backstory on this. Like, how'd you find yourself in that situation where all of a sudden Jessica Alba is your only option for childcare?
Right.
I mean, you know, like, would I rather Mila Kunis was watching my kid than leave him alone on the street? Sure. But it's not like any of these ladies are my first choice. How did I get to this place? How did we get here? And, you know, so comment on that. And then what celebrity mom would you most want babysitting your kids? Kid.
Right. Yeah.
I don't want your wife hearing that and thinking you got extras stashed somewhere.
Right. Yeah. God forbid. I mean, I'm almost certain that I don't. I think, it's kind of tough because it's like, what am I looking for in a celebrity babysitter? And
that's the question. This is the type of thing that keeps me up at night.
Right. Yeah. You know, I mean, what if this situation presents itself where I'm given my choice of any?
Literally. Right. You know, all the celebrity moms out there, they're just there lined up, and they're essentially, you know, they're fighting over the chance to watch my children. And, you know, if I delay, if I'm slow in my answer, then maybe they'll all just lose interest. I got to pick one. Yeah. So who are you going to pick? What qualities are you looking for?
I'm looking for somebody stable, in a stable relationship.
Like a Britney Spears type.
But yeah. No, somebody that would be fun, you know, be fun for a couple hours while the wife and I slip out for a quick cocktail.
Cocktail, right.
You know, it would be nice to have somebody that could both entertain the kid, but at the same time not be insane. And a lot of celebrities are insane.
Right. We discussed, I think, briefly many episodes ago the prospect of Suge Knight watching our children, as well as watching our art collections, and decided ultimately that it wouldn't be the best idea.
No, although that is still our most listened to podcast. So a lot of Suge Knight fans, were upset with us for that. But I mean, I'm going to, you know, part of the hallmark of the show has always been honesty. And I'm going to keep it real. And I'm going to say I still don't want Suge Knight watching my kids. Like another year has not softened my stance on that.
All right, so Suge Knight's out as the potential babysitter. Who are you looking for? Like, I mean, we want someone stable. We want someone that we don't think is on drugs.
Right.
Like, you want, like, an Ellen DeGeneres type?
I was thinking more like a Justin Timberlake.
Oh, going with the male babysitter. Okay.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
pretty tolerant of you.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, I'm a 21st century man. I think he'd be fun. I think he strikes me as being pretty stable. And pretty normal, but still fun. He'd probably teach the kid like a couple of really nice dance moves.
Yeah, that's actually not a bad call.
Yeah.
Okay, Justin Timberlake. I'm trying to think if there's anybody I'd prefer. I think I might choose maybe Gerardo.
Well,
the guy that wrote Rico Suave.
Yeah, I mean that guy.
For the same reasons.
Sure. Yeah, very stable.
I'm not going to lie to you. I don't have any idea what he's done for the last 25 years. I'm assuming that he's spent the last 25 years well. If he hasn't, then I might have to change my opinion.
I mean, I'd like to think that he's still somewhere wearing a tight pair of jeans and a jean jacket.
With what appears to be kind of a Jerry curl under his bandana.
You know, both denim, just heavy denim, a lot of stonewashed denim.
Yeah, and, whoever I'm picking, I want them to be draped in denim.
Yeah, well, lots of denim, and I want a bandana. Those are my only two requirements. You show up here wearing a pair of slacks, and sorry, pal, but the babysitting gig is no longer yours.
You know what? My wife and I decided we're not going out after all.
Yeah, well, it looks like we'll be keeping this $30 in our pocket. All right, so May 1st, 1977. Japan's Naomi Uemura, traveling by dog sled, becomes the first person to reach the North Pole alone.
So he says.
Right. Well, yeah. So we are celebrating the 40th year anniversary of that this year. So
have you been celebrating, in fact?
Well, not yet, but it's on May 1st I will be.
Oh, man, you would not believe the party I'm going to have on May 1st to celebrate the 40th anniversary of that guy getting to the North Pole alone.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's Naomi Uemura Day, and it's a cross between the 4th of July and Christmas.
Right, and really, it's not even a day celebration. This is the type of thing that generally we celebrate for a week.
It's like Mardi Gras, except with more of a Japanese bent.
Right, right. So let's talk about this event.
Yeah, so... Well, I mean, there's not a whole lot to say. I mean, the guy just got behind a pack of dogs and just rode off into the white, you know, the blinding white blizzard and eventually landed at the North Pole. Now, here's an interesting fact for you.
More interesting than just that he decided to do this one day?
Not only that. I actually know the guy who is the first person to ever do that to the South Pole.
Hop on a dog sled and just go?
No, he wasn't
on a dog sled.
Actually, no, he wasn't the first guy to – he's the first guy to do it by foot.
You just know him?
Yeah. He's this kind of like a – he's like this Philadelphia – he's a guy that owns like a coffee shop in Philadelphia that's like big now. It's like in New York and D.C. and all over the place.
Uh-huh.
And he's like a big-time adventurer. And like, yeah, he did this hike to the South Pole.
Well, I mean, that's impressive.
Sure. Now, here's the thing. Now with either case, now the guy I don't know about Naomi Uemura. I wasn't able to find a whole lot about his personal life, but I'm betting he's probably a married fella.
Sure.
And I know that, you know, this guy, Todd, that went to the South Pole, I know he was married at the time. So my question would be.
But the question is he still married now?
Yeah. As far as I know. So the question is, how would your wife react if. You know, you came home from work one day, she's sitting there, you know, she's sitting there at the dining room table, you know, doing her crossword. And you say, honey, and you take her hand in yours and you say, there's been something that's really been bugging me for a long time. And she says, what's that, dear? And you say, I've never been to the North Pole alone.
Pulled by a pack of dogs.
Right, yeah. And she says, what? And you go, yeah, I don't know how to put this. I want to go to the North Pole behind a pack of dogs.
Right, do you want me to dumb it down for you? I want these guys, I want a sled that these dogs are going to pull me on. I don't know how many times I have to say it.
And she says, what? You've never ridden behind a pack of dogs before, much less through some of the most unsparing terrain on earth.
When the temperature gets below 30 degrees, like, you have to wear 4 sweaters.
Yeah, you're real sissy about cold weather. Are you, like, this is crazy. And you say, I know it's crazy. That's why I have to do it.
Right.
Because otherwise this little voice in my head that keeps telling me, you can't do it, that's going to win.
It's going to consume me.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you want that voice in my head to be the, you know, be the victor and to ensure that I never achieve my full happiness and a feeling of success, then yeah, I mean, I guess you could say that I can't do the trip.
Because, honey, there's multiple voices in my head and I can listen to that one, or I can listen to one that's telling me to do considerably more unsavory things. I think, sure, all things being equal, you'd prefer I listen to the dog sled voice. And with that said, I'm leaving on Saturday. I'll see you in a couple weeks. So would your wife be more... All right, so would your wife be angrier...
First of all, it's important that the listeners know, neither of us ever takes that tone with our wives.
Right.
None of us has ever handed down an ultimatum.
Ultimatum. Like, listen, I expect you to be here when I get back with dinner on the table.
I mean, they're traveling
something hot
to the North Pole, or I'm visiting a whorehouse.
Right, right. Those are your choices.
So, you know, this isn't my decision to make.
You've driven me to this.
If this was a happy marriage, do you really think I'd be considering either going to a whorehouse or riding mine a pack of dogs up to the North Pole?
And I've already bought half the pack of dogs, by the way.
Well,
they're in the car.
I put the deposit down. I haven't bought them per se.
Right. That's the thing. That's the hook that we always use to get into these things, is we always make sure we've made a substantial deposit, so there's no backing out.
Right.
It's like, well,
right,
if you want me to lose the $350 that I've already invested, that's on you.
Right. Right. But there's that's a 0% return on that.
This trip's going to end up paying for itself.
Yeah, sure. I mean, think of all, like, the interviews, radio interviews. I'll probably be, like, on the local, like, on the morning show on the local TV station. I mean, right, the fame and fortune that we've been chasing for so long is finally going to be ours.
What percent chance do you think that of you surviving would there be if you undertook something like this?
I think there's a decent chance I'd survive.
Really? You think so? You think you'd make it and survive?
No, I didn't say make it. Okay. That's the bigger question. I think the bigger question is...
So you think, like, you would, like, kind of collapse 200 yards from the start, and then at some point, like, someone would find you and revive you?
Right, yes. I mean, that's what's going to happen. It's like, you know, within an hour on day one, I'm just going to fall backwards into the snow and lie there. And there's going to be, like, somebody's going to track the ping on my phone.
Right.
But I think the bigger question is, what are the odds of actually succeeding?
By yourself with just dogs?
Yeah.
As you are now, not, you know, is it some different incarnation of yourself?
No, it's you as you are now, but you do get to maybe spend, like, a week or two kind of learning how to ride behind
a week or two. So, like, you could maybe steer the sled.
Right, yeah. So you've learned the very basic.
I would put the odds of you, and you have, like, supplies. You have enough food and stuff. Like, you're not going to have to, like, shoot caribou or something.
Right, right, right. No, it's like Cool Runnings. Like you've learned on dry land, how to ride behind a pack of dogs, but you've never actually tried it on snow.
Right, in, like, the cold. I would say the odds of you with, as you put it, a week or two to just kind of, like, learn what you're doing, I'd put the odds at no better than 1%.
Yeah, I was gonna say that, probably maximum.
Oh yeah, I mean, I there's, and you know, if I'm being honest, if you did it, if you did it 100 times, it's not like you'd make it once. So, I mean, it's a long way. Like, how close are they dropping you? Are they dropping you like by helicopter, like a couple miles away from the North Pole? Or are you? I mean, you know, we're talking like a long trek, right?
Yeah.
Your wife would be so mad when you got back. Here's the question: would your wife be there when you got back, or would she be living with relatives? Would the locks have been changed? Are you taking her calls on this trip? Because she would just be really giving it to you.
That would be definitely part of the problem.
You might want to just be like, and by the way, my number. Don't call me while I'm on this trip.
Well, I think that's the question that we always end up at is how much would I have to pay you to undertake this? Because keeping in mind that that's part of what you're telling your wife, and because I can't just say, hey, because I need to do this. I'm going to the North Pole and I'm going to be up there for like a few weeks while you watch the kid alone.
And I might die.
Right. Yeah.
Because you really might.
Right. I mean, and not to bring everybody down, but Naomi Uemura actually ended up dying while attempting to climb Denali.
Well, thanks for bringing us all down.
Yeah. So
I would have to get, but you know, in the $500,000 to $1 million range, probably more because I might die. I mean, I'm just saying I'd need that to tell my wife in the tone of voice that we were doing earlier that I was doing this. Like, I'd like to speak to my wife that way. I'd have to be paid close to $1 million.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's the scary. Yeah, that's scarier than going to the North Pole is giving my wife an ultimatum.
That's a good one. Would you rather spend 7 days up on the North Pole, just kind of out in the wilderness, or would you rather speak to your wife that way?
With that tone.
Once, right? It's like, I'll take the wilderness adventure.
Yeah. Yeah. May 3rd, 1855, adventurer William Walker departs from San Francisco with about 60 men to conquer Nicaragua, set up his own English-speaking colony, and become ruler of it.
What year was this?
1855.
So not terribly long ago.
Yeah. He briefly succeeded and took over Nicaragua for a few years before being captured.
A few years?
Yeah. I mean, it was one of those things where, like, there was a civil war going on, and I think a few different people were claiming to be the leader.
If you could take over a Central American country for a few years and then be deposed, would it be worth it?
Yeah, I mean, well, if I was shipped back to the United States, yeah. If I was executed, no.
I mean, you could live like a king for those few years.
Somewhat, yeah.
Really plunder the treasury.
How much would I have to pay you
uh-huh.
to go down to Central America, any country? You name your country.
Okay.
And with like 60 of your buddies and literally try to unseat the government.
So great question, first of all, and one I've been itching to answer for a long time. I have a couple of background questions for you. First of all, have you ever thought about if you were going to gather 60 guys to go try to topple a government in Central America? Have you ever thought about the list of people? Have you ever thought about like who the 60 would be?
Who makes the guest
yeah,
list?
Yeah, I mean, you know, who would you invite? How many of them would say yes? How, I mean, you know, I'm trying to think what 60 people I would try to round up for this. You know, would you try to round up people you knew? Would you try to round up celebrities?
Well, I mean, celebrity babysitters so that when I took over, I had somebody to watch the kid.
Right. If you think I wouldn't be trying to get Gerardo on my expedition, because, I mean, he speaks Spanish, too.
Right, right. No, he'd be a huge help just in terms of communication.
I would install him and, you know,
he'd be your translator. And
so much more.
The trick with Gerardo, yeah, is that he would only translate in rhyme form.
Right. With outdated early 90s dance moves.
Correct. That's how ultimately you'd have to take over the country is to
distract them with Gerardo.
Distract them with like
just be like, hey, everybody, guess what? There's a big concert. Gerardo, he's making his comeback. He hasn't performed in 25 years, and we're gonna give you a free show right in here. I'm gonna need all of your top-ranking government officials to come right up in here. This you're gonna have VIP passes backstage, and then yep. when they come back there, you and your other 59 friends are just waiting for him.
Mm-hmm. And you run down the, you charge down the hill screaming, and
you're just screaming.
And you you just tackle those officials to the ground, and then you ride in
while the concert's going on. By the way.
Sure. No, I mean, the people are still a bit confused, but Gerardo is such a consummate professional that he's kind of keeping everybody calm.
He's completely unfazed by the absolute melee that's taking place in the down in front on the right.
The
you know, these are like some of the top ranking generals and the president, prime minister, all these people. And here comes Johnny and the Truth screaming. Literally running down from the upper decks of the Coliseum, screaming and just tackling these people, accompanied by what appear to be 50 or 60 other people.
Right, yeah, in a Central American Coliseum.
Right, and so obviously, like, you know, chaos would ensue.
Right, yeah. But then Gerardo
keeps going. And he's only doing Rico Suave again and again. He's like, all right, let's take it from the top.
All right, guys, one more time.
All right, so the real question is, how many times playing Rico Suave would it take, well, with people being distracted by it, for us to have successfully taken over the country? 8 times?
No. I think by the third time, it would be one of those deals where, like, the leaders, the generals and the prime minister.
The ones that we had attacked screaming.
So, no. So, like, the third time he starts at Rico Suave, it's like in a movie where everybody starts, like, murmuring to each other because something doesn't quite seem right. What's going on here?
Do you think there's about to be a coup led by a couple of podcast hosts and 59 of their friends?
Yeah.
Nah, this Gerardo concert's on the level.
Yeah. Gerardo wouldn't do that to us.
You see these VIP passes? They're laminated. I think it's safe to say this is all real and not some elaborate charade to take over the country.
I'm just thinking about you and I laminating all these VIP things.
Well, we got to make them look real.
In like the basement of an old elementary school, and like high fiving because this is such a foolproof plan. That, you know, once we give them their laminated cards, they're going to know we're legit.
Right? These guys must be from Hollywood.
Yeah. No. I mean, I feel like if somebody did,
like, do we even have an opening act, or is it just Gerardo?
No. It's like a lunchtime concert.
Oh, it's just, in the day. Okay. I was envisioning something under the lights.
No. It's like during the daytime, it's like a lunch break at City Hall.
Okay. And they kind of come out and they're like, boy, do we have a treat for you.
Yeah. He's like playing in the foyer.
Okay. Like kind of in the food court.
Yeah. I like outdoors, though, because in Central America, everything's outdoors. It's so hot.
Right. Even coups of the government.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, a lot of people, after we do it, were like, why did you even want Nicaragua?
We didn't necessarily say it was going to be Nicaragua. You said we could take our choice of country. There might be a better one, an easier target.
Yeah. Maybe like Costa Rica, which I hear is nicer, too.
You'd have to say, like, whichever one, we'd have to research and see whichever one would be more susceptible to Gerardo's. Whichever one would kind of be more spellbound.
Right, by his charms.
By whatever he was doing.
Which one has a less stable government.
Right. And one where, like, they would all be willing to, like, get... I mean, because we'd have to get them all in one place. This is a really, like, shoot-for-the-moon type thing. Because, you know, if we fail, there's going to be repercussions.
Huge. Just like William Walker's. He got executed.
Oh, he did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so that probably didn't work out too well. The question is if it failed, and I mean, we would probably know if it was going to fail within a couple of minutes.
Mm.
And we would know, like, I mean, either we were going to just intimidate.
Well, you could kind of feel it in the air.
Right. Like, are the people behind us? Like, are the people supportive of this overthrow of the government? I mean, we're trying to get the people's support, right? We want to be at the top of a popular uprising, ultimately.
Right. They have to. I mean, but that's the point of Gerardo. I mean, if it's just you and I, just a couple of, you know, white Yankees coming down there, you know, just taking over, there's going to be a lot of, you know, we're not going to have any support. That's what Gerardo's for.
You don't think if we failed that they would execute Gerardo too, do you?
No, I think
that because if so, we should scrap this whole plan.
Right. I think they would see him as just a patsy.
Okay.
And occupants,
you know, give him some community service or something.
Right.
Yeah. Right. What if we end up being executed? Gerardo sentenced to 50 hours picking up trash on the side of the highway for the role he played.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of how I see it.
That's how you think it would shake out. Wow. Yeah.
Did I tell you that I saw Belbiv DeVoe at a Sixers game?
You did, actually. Yeah. And didn't you try to get close to him and someone almost like beat the crap out of you?
Yeah, their publicist told us to go get away.
From Belbiv DeVoe?
Yeah. No, we were like, hey, can we get a quick photo of Belbiv DeVoe? And the publicist was like, hold on, let me check. And then she came back like 5 minutes later. She's like, no, sorry. And they're like right there. And it would have taken literally 3 seconds. And she's like, no, sorry. So then we like follow him down the hall.
Really?
Yeah. So it's like me and my buddy Brian.
Kind of like stalking.
Not kind of.
Right. Okay.
It's like they're walking down the hall. Their publicist is walking behind them. So there's Bell, there's Biv, and there's DeVoe. Their publicist.
All of whom have already sent you a pretty firm.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I mean, it was probably pretty. I mean, I can understand why she was a little bit creeped out.
Well, sure. You're creepy guys.
Yeah. She's like, you're going to have to turn around and go back now. But anyway, the point is,
what's the point?
Belbiv DeVoe travels to arenas, country fairs, et cetera, all across the country.
Right.
And you know what they do?
Deny people the opportunity to take pictures of them.
Well, that, and they just perform Poison.
That song?
That song.
I thought you meant like just Poison songs, like they just go sing Every Rose Has Its Thorn.
Yeah.
Fallen Angel, Talk Dirty to Me.
Yeah, that's the twist. No. They perform Poison about 230, 240 times a year.
I'll bet that never gets old for them.
No. No, I bet they love it more.
No wonder
more.
They're such bitter, bitter men.
Yeah, well, no, yeah, I know. Because they can still lord that power over, you know, an old guy like me who remembers them from their glory days.
Right.
I mean, that's the sad thing, is that Belbiv DeVoe and myself could have regaled each other with early 90s tales of ribaldry.
The thing is, they would have probably really enjoyed that.
Sure.
Your company.
Yeah, and then, see, their publicist was like in their 20s. She doesn't get it.
You should have told her that. You should have been like, you don't get it.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's why you won't let me have this photo, because you don't get it. You think if I didn't?
What if we attempted a hostile a military coup to become Belbiv DeVoe's new publicist?
That's
how many men would it take?
That's a lot more likely.
And would we even need the diversion from Gerardo?
Yeah, that one's not even. Even though it would not be outlandish for Gerardo to open for Belbiv DeVoe. I still see a way of
Gerardo. How much money would you pay to have good seats for a concert in which Gerardo opened for Belbiv DeVoe?
Well,
like assuming it was like relatively close to where you lived and stuff like that. You're not like going. You're not driving to like Missouri or something.
Right. Well, first of all, I want to say that any hostile takeover that doesn't involve Gerardo, I want no part of.
Right, so, I at least need him on as an advisor. I mean, right. And hopefully, like he'd be willing to perform. I at least want his ear.
Right. So, like, whether we're taking over Belize or just like taking over management of Belbiv DeVoe,
making $85,000 a year,
which is probably a fair price.
Yeah, I think it's fair.
I want Gerardo in some way involved. And I mean, I just hope that, you know, I'm assuming that Belbiv and DeVoe aren't going to have an issue with that.
No, I think they're just puppets. They're going to do whatever people tell them.
And by people, you mean us.
People or their publicists.
Their new management team.
Right? Hi, we've never met. I'm Johnny Goodtimes. I'm going to be calling all the shots from now on in your career and be taking a healthy cut of your pay. I assume that won't be a problem.
Hey, so what do you know about the Arkansas State Fair? Because books.
Here's a pamphlet. You might want to read up on it.
We took a bit of a pay cut with this one, but I think we're gonna. I think we're gonna be performing in front of some people that could take us some new places.
Let me start you off with the good news. You're gonna be able to have complimentary ribs and mashed potatoes for two straight nights.
All you can eat.
All you can eat on the house. They're excellent. 3.5 stars out of 5 is what I'm seeing on Yelp.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now the bad news.
And there's all.
This
there's
isn't a paying gig.
Right, right. This is just sort of to establish our rapport.
This is just to earn your trust.
So anyway, so the point is that.
What's the point again?
The concept of Gerardo singing Rico Suave only at this concert in Nicaragua is not that outlandish.
Oh, that's where you were going with all this, with this 15-minute tangent.
Right, right. So, I mean, I think that, you know, to come full circle, we could, if we wanted to mix it up and get Bel Biv DeVoe to also perform at that same, you know, concert, a lunchtime concert at City Hall, I think that's something we could make happen. I know their publicist.
You do know their publicist. I think that a topic for another day would be, because we clearly have cracked the code for how to overthrow a Central American government. And the key is clearly like a distraction concert. And so I think at some point we should maybe make our dream list of, right, of, you know, like 5 acts that we would want to use for this concert. Obviously, Gerardo and Bel Biv DeVoe would be headlining, but there's got to be some other acts that might be worthwhile.
Other smaller acts.
Right? Someone else that's maybe not quite as famous.
Not quite as famous as Gerardo.
Maybe Criss Cross.
Yeah. Well, no, come on. Criss Cross more famous than Gerardo.
You think?
Oh, absolutely. You kidding me?
Gerardo dated Madonna.
Rico Suave was never as big as Jump.
Rico Suave was pretty awesome, though.
That was a great song.
Yeah.
Great right. song. Yeah.
We'll be right back after this.
All right.
Suave. Rico. Suave.
Well, guys, that's the first week of May. We've talked about overthrowing Central American governments with the help of long since relevant pop stars. And we've also talked about the notion of just taking a pack of dogs to the North Pole for no apparent reason. And we've missed you guys. We really have.
Yeah. I miss doing it. Apparently, Gerardo was recently interviewed by Oprah. So I'll be checking that out now.
Request a one-time access code.
What the hell is that?
It's my phone. Yeah. What? That'll come in handy if it's Halloween and you're...
Sorry. So I'm going to check that out now, and I'll be sure to share
that. Was that Gerardo?
No, that was a commercial.
Oh, okay. Not a commercial with Gerardo in it.
No, sadly.
That's too bad.
Don't see a lot of those these days.
Man, I really want to strike up a relationship with this guy after this podcast. I'm back on the wagon. I really am.
Oh, yeah.
If you're listening, Gerardo, give us a call.
Yeah, if you're one of our 25 to 30 regular listeners.
Oh, it's more than that, but it's still pretty unlikely that Gerardo is among them.
Pretty unlikely. What do you think better odds? You making it to the North Pole or Gerardo listening to this podcast?
Like regularly?
No, just this once. Just one of his friends saying, hey, Gerardo.
You should check out this podcast. There's some guys that are planning on using you to topple a Central American government.
Yeah, you should check it out. What do you think the odds are that he's going to check it out and be really flattered and decide?
Well, that he's going to check it out or that he's going to check it out and be really flattered. Those are two different things. You're making it harder for me.
Well, my thought was that he was going to check it out, be really flattered, and then perform a small concert just for us and our families.
I'm going to be really honest with you about something, Johnny. I think there is a better chance of that happening than me making it to the North Pole alone. What do you think?
There's a better chance of Gerardo not only listening to the podcast, but enjoying it.
But being a little bit flattered.
Right. And in fact, calling up one of us and saying that
finding our numbers.
Yep, just for you, me, my wife, your wife, and our three combined children.
And just doing that in like one of our yards or something?
Yeah. I mean, really, like, let's be honest, if it was just like the seven of us and Gerardo, it would be at least a little bit awkward.
I think it'd be more than a little bit awkward. What would we talk about other than Rico Suave?
Hey, man, great tune.
Why don't you play it again?
Hey, enough talking. Why don't you get back to rapping?
Less talking, more Spanish rapping. Oh, all man, right, folks. That would be so awkward. But seriously, if you're listening, give us a call. And, oh, I mean, what do you think? Would it be more likely that you would make it to the North Pole or that would happen? You're not going to make it to the North Pole.
It's definitely
more
likely that Gerardo hears this podcast.
Right.
Now, whether or not he performs
this podcast. Whether or not he then decided to take it upon himself to do a private concert for us, that's a whole other story.
Right.
What if he just heard it and he's like, you know what I'm going to do for those guys? I'm going to put on a private show. They deserve it.
After that performance, they deserve a performance of their own.
Yeah, that's more likely than the North Pole thing.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, man.
Yeah, there's no way I'm making it to the North Pole.
No, but great question.
Yeah.
All right, guys, I think that's about going to do it for this episode.
All righty.
My name is Nat the Truth Jones.
I'm Johnny Goodtimes.
We'll see you guys later.
Take a like. It's crazy. I'm bringing the breaking backs and busting lips. I bring the creek, glad the snipe, and those freaking pips and shrimps. I'm bringing to make enough noise like Bam Bam, throw boulders from bedrock, they'll get.